Citrus Podcast. I'm Summer.
I'm Darcy.
And I'm Katie.
Welcome to all new and returning listeners. You can find show notes at kitchenstitches.com and links to all the places you can find us on the internets can be found there too. Please come over and join us on the Kitchen Stitches Ravelry board. We'd love to get to know you. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
What's up? Hello.
How have you been doing?
Okay.
Okay. So we're experimenting this week, and we are just pushing record, and we're going to try to keep this a little less formal than it has been the past few weeks. So bear with us while we kind of find our footing. So I feel like it's been forever since I saw either one of you.
Oh, I know.
We were gone for like 10 days.
Yeah, I was gone 8 days. I got back. I left Wednesday the 18th for for training and then a conference and got back on Thursday. And I'm not going to bore everyone with all of the details, but there are some things that I'll talk about as we get to in the kitchen. And I don't remember. There was something else I was going to talk about. Acquisitions that I'll throw in that are a little more relevant, but other than that, I'm not as exhausted now. Yesterday I was exhausted. The plane ride home was, I was in the plane for 5 hours.
And that's only like a 2-hour flight.
No, it's, yeah, it took about an hour and 45, no, about an hour and a half, maybe, hour 15 minutes to get there. Oh, I flew from here to from Houston to Indianapolis. And it was supposed to be an hour and 45-minute flight home. He said it's usually about an hour and 15 minutes. But there were storms between here, or Indianapolis and Houston, that were pretty bad. It was actually Kansas. All of the Kansas City flights were canceled while we were sitting in the airplane. The connecting flight from Houston to Austin for the next leg of not the next leg of our flight, but for people that were flying to Houston, was canceled. They couldn't put anybody up in Indianapolis because it was the weekend of the Indy 500 and there were absolutely no hotel rooms. And I'm actually feeling pretty confident that the only reason they flew us at all is because they didn't have anywhere to put us and figured that if they needed to land somewhere along the way, they could and they would have better luck putting us up. And so we sat on the tarmac for about an hour and a half because there was a mechanical issue, not anything major, nothing to make anybody nervous. It was like a flap in the cargo hold that needed
spoiler,
to be screwed
you
down.
Live.
I lived.
Yeah, yes, some of you.
Yeah, they had to screw something in, and that was, it took longer. They had to get, the pilot said they weren't allowed to do it, so they had to get maintenance to do it, and it took them a while to get there. Then they said they were verifying the amount of fuel that had been put in because one log said something and something else said something else. I'm pretty sure they just wanted to make sure it was completely full because they knew that they were going to have to go around storms. And we actually, I don't know what the flight path would have looked like, but we did this big U around the storm, went as far west as San Antonio, which is about 3 hours west of Houston, and then curved
it
back.
You posted it on Facebook, and it was really interesting to look at kind of
like
sea curve.
You kind of like went right through these storms and then veered around them. But it ended up taking, the flight actually took probably about 2.5 hours. And it, you know, I think I've probably been on bumpier flights. There were parts where it was pretty bumpy, but it wasn't that bad. So all in all, it could have been worse. Coming in was really pretty because we were south of the storms, and I could sit and watch the lightning, and it was like constant lightning in these clouds. But I lived. So that has been, I mean, honestly, my brain is fried, and I got some knitting done while I was there, and I didn't finish anything, but I did get to do some stuff in the hotel room. I saw no knitters the entire conference, which was just bizarre. I was telling
That's
Darcy and Katie, yeah, these were a different kind of, different brand of librarians. These were
and
not,
you didn't see weird color hair, too.
No
that,
weird color
that
hair.
That drives me crazy.
Yeah, I dyed my hair. Actually, I don't think, Darcy, have you even seen my hair since I did
haven't,
the blue?
And that's amazing.
Yeah,
I'm loving it so much.
I added teal underneath. It's a peekaboo. And I really like it, but I didn't see any. I saw one lady with kind of a fun red, and that was it. I don't know. I think it's just a different type of person. It was interesting, but I don't know. What's been up with y'all? Anything interesting since I've been gone?
We're just finishing up school. I think that's the biggest thing for me is finally getting ready to have summer, which is.
So when is your daughter's last day? I don't know if you want me to mention your daughter's name.
No, not really.
Yeah.
But a lot of the districts around here, they're out already, but their district doesn't get out until next Thursday.
Oh, wow.
So they've got a couple of days left over. But I went to, I did chaperone a field trip to the Health Museum, which is actually one of my favorite little museums in this town. It's right behind the Children's Museum. And we've got Houston has such a robust museum district. But this one, what I like for kids, it's one of the better museums because it's a little smaller than, say, the Museum of Natural Science. And there's a ton of hands-on things. In fact, that's like pretty much the whole museum is touch and interact and play, crawl through a giant colon.
That's try the best one, especially when they're trying to be educational, give something hands-on.
And she and one of her friends, they were running around doing like a scavenger hunt, and they made DNA out of two Twizzlers, a bunch of toothpicks, and mini marshmallows. And I told her if she loved her mother, she'd give me a bite of the DNA. And no, I think the kids really, we had a really good time. It was one of the better chaperone experiences.
Whoa. Sorry about that. I shouldn't play with the.
Don't play with that.
I just noticed that it's kind of red. So.
But that's the biggest thing that's been going, that was happened last week that was fun.
I didn't have much downtime in Indianapolis, but on the Thursday before I left, my flight didn't leave until 5:45. So I had time to spare, and I ended up going to the Indiana State Museum, which was about a 5-minute walk from my hotel. And that was fun. I actually ended up at the zoo. I didn't know. Google had told me it was much farther to the zoo. It was giving some real roundabout path. It was walking, but it was following this one path, and I think it wasn't maybe there's more than one gate or there's another way to get to it, but I was walking along the canal and just following these statues or sculptures and taking pictures, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait, that's the entrance to the zoo. And I almost went in, but it was really gray and cloudy, and it's about $18, I think, to get in, and I was afraid I would get rained on. And I had already had the plan to go to the museum, so I actually went back to the museum, and good call, because probably an hour in, I noticed that it was pouring, so.
I want to say I've been to that museum, because I have relatives right around Indianapolis, and I love it.
It was neat. It was kind of, the bottom part was, or the bottom floor was kind of science museum-y, and it wasn't very, there wasn't a whole lot. But the second floor was very pop culture-y, and very much, you know, it was Indiana state history type stuff. Katie's from Indiana, I'm sure she's been.
We had to take it in fourth grade and seventh grade.
It's like me going to Sutter's Fort in California. Yeah, I've seen it. Been there.
I think I've been in the cap, in the, whatever the tall.
Oh, yeah, the monument.
Circle, the monument. I think I've been in that. I mean, I've been to India a handful of times, but as far as major landmarks.
Yeah. I really was impressed with the downtown. It's very walkable. We had a lot of good food, which I'll talk about when we get to the kitchen. But, you know, this is a knitting podcast, so let's actually talk about some knitting. Who wants to start? Oh, actually, if we're going to talk about finished objects, I think I'm the only one with finished objects.
I think, I mean, you can look on my Instagram, slightly underscore foxed, if you forgot. It's in the notes. You'll find it. And I've been doing like little bits and pieces. I think I did like a little pusheen since I've seen y'all.
Yeah.
I did a little pusheen. I've been playing around with some Monster High dresses, which I think is more interesting to me than the kiddo. I would do it watching RuPaul's Drag Race, so I'd feel like very fashionable. So it but anyway, but I really don't. Other than that, I haven't had a whole lot of finished objects. I think you're the only one with them.
So let's see. I've got the first thing I finished was the One Love Shawl by Susan B. Anderson. I used my hand spun from Twist Fiber Studio in Clown College. It was a rainbow. It was 100% super fine merino. And I did it as a single ply. It was the first, I think it was just the first single ply I ever did. And it had a lot of energy. I wasn't sure how this was going to feel when I finished, but after soaking and blocking, it's so soft.
It's so pretty, too. And the way it curves, it's very rainbowy.
The pattern was a lot of fun. It calls for 400 skeins or more, but it's very adaptable. I turned out that I thought I had closer to 400, and I only had 296 yards or something like that, but I went ahead and did it anyway. Figured I could always rip it out if it turned out too small. But the pattern is almost more of a recipe. It has a garter section and a stockinette section and a eyelet section. I think that's right. Yeah. And you can follow a pattern that she has, or you can just decide to switch patterns whenever you want to. And I started out kind of changing whenever I would finish or get to a purple section, I would change, or purple section of the yarn, I would change. And then as the rows got longer, that didn't really work as well because the repeats weren't long enough. So I just kind of went on my whim. I didn't do the full repeat of the ending border because I just didn't have enough yarn left. But it turned out it's small enough. It can go around my neck and it'll be cute. I probably need a shawl pin or something to hold into place, but it turned out really well. And I already have plans to use the same pattern for a couple more of the skeins of hand spun that I have.
It'd be a really nice accent piece for like something professional.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I mean, you could wear, a black shirt or just any of the colors that are in it and it's just a really nice accessory.
Yeah.
And then I also finished, what was this? Yesterday I finished the Dragonfly's Hat by Hopi Locatelli. And both of these objects count for the End of the World spot. Into the Wool Spotlight knit along that we're participating because we're going to the retreat in the fall. And this one I made out of Madeline Tosh DK in the Baroque Violet color. And it's not even violet. It's almost more, like the base I would think is almost more of a navy. But it's got these pops of purple and lighter blue. And it's really pretty.
It's a blue purple.
Yeah,
it's not super pretty.
And
it
really depends on what the light is. It's not super bright in here. But this was a really fun pattern. I quit knitting on it at the conference because I didn't bring DPNs with me, but I actually ended up finishing it using the needles that it was on. I just used a traveling loop instead of switching to DPNs, and it turned out great. And I'm really, really happy with it, and we'll probably end up making more of these as gifts just because it was a lot of fun, and I could see any yarn that has like an iridescence to it, I think, just like Madeline Tosh Spectrum, I think would be really pretty. I've seen a few skeins of Cyborg's Craft Room that some people have been using recently that I think would look really, really nice in this hat. And the other two finished objects I have are spinning, and I actually finished them before my trip, but they're finished objects, so I wanted to bring them. The first was a bat from Uniquely Yours, and I won this bat from the Bookish Stitcher podcast earlier this spring. I don't remember what the knit along was for that I won it. Whoops. But it is Merino, Corriedale, and Angelina. I got about 198 yards of it's probably light worsted, maybe DK. It's actually pretty thick and thin. I spun this really fast. I spun it in a day. I think it was on Mother's Day. And it turned out really nice. I I think it's a single. Yeah, it's just a single. I didn't end up flying it, so I fold it. And which, if you don't know, because you're not a spinner, which is probably most of you, fulling is basically felting. You dip it, you dunk it in hot water and cold water a few times until it starts to felt a little bit, which makes the singles hold together so they don't drift apart when you're knitting with it. But this is, like I don't know if I said, the colorway is patchwork, and it's basically just a whole bunch of primary colors and a lot of sparkle.
It's really pretty.
And I guess, you know, like a patchwork quilt. And it turned out really nice. I'm really happy with that.
The lime green kind of pops.
Yeah,
with
it really does. Yeah, that is what you see.
I think that's what my eyes go to the most.
And then the other one is another bat, and this is from Joanna Spring at Knit Spin Farm. And this was, I actually don't remember what the content was. I think it was merino and silk noil, which are these little bits of silk that's spun into it. I applied this and I got, 182 yards. I actually just soaked it yesterday and measured it out right before. That's partially why I was late. And it's just so soft and fluffy. I am really, really happy with how it came out. And the colorway for this was Winter Rose. And it's a mauve, like a, you know, kind of a, it's a rose color.
Yeah.
Like a pinky.
Kind of salmon-y.
Yeah, and it's really pretty with these flecks of white silk in it. I don't know what this will be, but it's really soft. I forgot to bring my acquisitions. Oh, well, darn it. I wanted to, speaking of soft, I'll talk about it in a few minutes, but it was super soft and I wanted to share the softness. Okay. So that's all of my finished objects. Works in progress. Katie hasn't talked. Do you want to talk?
Yeah.
Are you in the middle of something?
No, I'm at the end of a row. So
I'm going to rattle a little bit and stick these back in the bag so I don't forget anything.
Let's see. Whips. I stash started on Friday the 27th. And then and that's through the Knit Girls, their podcast. And then Diane Suburban Stitcher is doing Around Your Neck Cowl, which starts on June 1st. So I have a couple things in hibernation until June 1st. I'm probably two or three rows away from finishing the Reina shawl by Nora Lavola. And I'm using Savvy Skeins Kamal Sock, which is a cream-colored base. And then it's got speckles, a blue, purple, like an orange, and a gold. And this shawl is a free pattern on Ravelry. So it's garter, you know, sections are garter stitch and sections of the knit to yarn over mesh sections.
I think it was Saratoga Knitting on Instagram. Who I watched her podcast yesterday, and I think she's working on that too. Either working on it or had just finished it.
Yeah, it's easy, and it's adjustable. I'm just hoping I have enough. I don't have enough to do the whole, like, 20 rows of lace, I don't think. I don't know, I need to weigh it, so. My ball's getting kind of small, so. I'm hoping I can block it to. It's gonna be a shawllet. It's definitely not a big shawl. I did a little bit of work on Skelter by Wooly Wormhead, using Malabriga Rios and Posteon. That's a cabled hat, little cables. The test knit that I was doing, it's a shawl that she's now released called Ray by Cassie Muntzgard. And I'm using Plucky Knitter, Traveler Aaron, and Petal Pusher. The pattern's written for a worsted or a light worsted, and I decided to use an Aran weight yarn. It is super heavy. So I'm modifying the pattern and just doing a few less repeats because I'm kind of ready to be done. So I've got maybe another two or three rows and then the bind off. So I'll have those two shawls, the Reina and the Ray, to cast off next week. And then I started the OMG Heel Socks by Megan Williams. I've only ever made one complete pair of socks, and that was the Rose City Rollers. so, and those were cuffed down. But because I have big feet, I wear like a size 11 or 12 depending on the shoe. I'm concerned about yarn management, so I'm doing toe up. So, and I'm making my brain work using Magic Loop. You know, it's easy doing back and forth in Magic Loop. I'm on the gusset heel part, which is, my brain is like, I don't understand what you're doing. Because I've done, you know, with the other socks I've made, it's been cuffed down. So you do the heel flap and then you do the gusset, you pick it up and then you continue knitting. I understand that construction. It's the up going the other way that I can't visualize it.
That's why I haven't done it.
And then I'm doing it all on one needle, which is
so funny because I was the same way with cuffed down. It just did not click with me for so long. And the toe up for me was just.
It's all on one needle too. Yeah. And so I'm just like,
Toe up is always, it's like always on my New Year's resolutions and I still have yet to do it.
So I'm in the middle of the first sock. I'm in the heel gusset part right now. So those are going pretty fast. And I'm using Nomadic Yarns and Trusty Sock and Tinsel Tree, which is a self-striping gray, teal, pink, and a gold. And then I started the Bonbon Toque by Tin Can Knits using Mad Tosh Vintage and Manor. And that's a cabled hat. I'm doing the manly hat because I don't like the female version, which was still cabled, but it had like eyelets next to the cables. Oh. I just didn't.
That's weird.
I didn't like. Well, I didn't. It might. The pictures had it in white or like a cream colored, which I didn't like. So maybe if it was in another color, it might appeal to me. So I'm just doing the manly version. Manor is one of my favorite colors of Mad Tosh. Depending on the batch or the base, it ranges from a green blue to a green blue with a heavy like black wash over it. So the vintage I'm using is got those blue green undertones, but mostly like a dark, I guess almost, it's not black, but it's got that black wash. And then right before we started recording, I just cast on Paddle Mitts by Tin Can Knits. And I'm using Mad Tosh DK Twist in Nassau Blue, which is a really, really pretty green blue.
It's like turquoise. Yeah. Darker than turquoise.
My heart sang when I saw there's it. It's really pretty.
There's a sweet Georgia color that's called Tourmaline that's really close to that, too.
Really, this is, I made my groovy out of this color, but I used 80-10-10 for that. But so I got a couple of skeins of that. So I just need to figure out what I'm gonna do for the first. In Paddle Mitts, you do two stripes. I've got some DK Twist in that Cosmic Silver, which is a speckly, which would pick up that color.
Yeah,
and it doesn't take that much yardage. Otherwise, I got plenty of other things laying around. I don't need that much to do. So the paddle mitts, the socks, the OMG socks, and the Bonbon Toque are all things I'm using to get points for the Into the Wool knit along for my team. And my team is currently winning!
Woohoo! We were winning at one point.
We've been winning. Well, yeah, we were kicking some serious butt, so. But that's what I got for whips.
Okay. We'll just go around the table.
Okay.
That works. So for me, I'll talk about what I'm working on right now. We were laughing a minute ago because I was pulling out my knitting. And I'm working on a pair of Hermione's Everyday Socks using Gail's Art sock blank in a watermelon colorway, which is, I think I talked about it the last time. It's a gradient, goes from like a dark green into a lighter green with darker on top of it into a white into a pink with black speckles like watermelon. And it's really pretty. This is the first time I've knit with a sock blank, but we were laughing because I was trying to find the end of my sock and pulling it out. I kind of felt like a magician pulling out a scarf out of a hat. But I really like the way this looks, and I don't mind the curliness of the yarn coming out of the sock blank. But probably for socks, I would need to go down. I really probably need to go down at least a needle size, and I'm already knitting on zeros. And I've knit a few pairs on double zeros, and I just don't really like it very much. So the socks fit. I just know, you know, when you've got a relatively loose gauge on the bottom of your foot, for one thing, they may not last as long. And they're also not, for me, they're not as comfortable. It's just a texture thing. I can feel the stitches more. So I'm not sure how much I'll like wearing them, but they're pretty to make. For future yarn blanks, sock blanks, I think I probably would use them for shawls or something that that the gauge doesn't matter as much. But, so I'm working on those, and I am also doing the OMG heel on these, and I am just past the heel. I'm about maybe an inch past the heel. And these I knit on while I was waiting for the plane to take off, and then read the rest of the time. I just didn't feel like pulling my knitting out. I'm also working on Harvest by Tankian Knits, which is a sweater. I'm using Blue Moon Fiber Arts Targi Worsted and Hot Rod Red. And it's really pretty. I got gauge, I think I went down a couple of needle sizes. I generally do. I'm a pretty loose knitter. And I've gotten, if you've seen it, it's a cardigan it's part of the Simple Collection by Tankian Knits, which is free. And they're intro level patterns for, like, she's got socks and mitts and a hat and a blanket and the sweater. And the barley hat is part of this collection. If you listen to podcasts, I'm not sure how you have missed the barley hat, because everybody is making it. But it has a garter stitch collar, which extends down to make it's not a button band because there are no buttons, but it goes along like a button band would. And then it's garter stitch the rest of the way. And it kind of wraps over some of the pictures of it. You see it closed with like a shawl pin, or you can add buttons if you want. I think there's a modification in the pattern for buttons. I probably won't. I'll probably just wear it open. But it's pretty easy so far, and I am about a third of the way through the yoke on it, and before dividing for sleeves. What I'm trying to decide now, I have 3 skeins of the Blue Moon Fiber Arts, which are huge skeins. They're like 518 yards per skein. And I had only wound up one, and I haven't been alternating. And what I need to do is go home and wind the other two. They're just so big that I avoided it the first time. But I think I want to go ahead and wind up the other two and compare them and see how different they are and if I need to alternate.
You need to alternate.
I know I need to alternate. I'm just avoiding it.
You need to alternate, because otherwise you will regret it. And better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah. I think what I'll probably will do is get about halfway through this one. Maybe get through the yoke. And when I divide for sleeves, I could save one ball. Generally, I think they say to save about a third of your yarn for sleeves. So I could just stick one of them aside for sleeves and then alternate. And if I run out, I can break into the other one, because I don't really care how long my sleeves are. But yeah, I think I'll wait until I divide.
And that's because then you're not equally running two balls at the same time. You've already used part of one ball.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And that will blend a little bit better.
Yeah. I'm just dreading it.
I know
I need to.
It's like swatching. You know you need to do it. Otherwise, it's not going to turn out.
But, yeah. So yes, that's
Mom.
Yes, Mom. And to see him, I'm actually, because I'm sure my mom is actually sitting there saying, talking to me. So, yes, Mom,
if it was a shawl alternate. Or something, or mitts, then yeah, but it's a sweater that's going to go across your chest. And you may not see it as you're knitting it, but you'll see it like when you block it or take a picture.
Oh, yeah.
True. Yeah, okay, I'm convinced. And then the only other, I actually have a lot of things on the needles that I had put aside to start the Spotlight Cal for Into the Wool. But then some of them are pretty close to being finished for Stash Dash, so I'll pick those up, and I'll talk about those probably as finished objects once I finish them. The only other thing that's active right now, because I've been gone and only took a few projects with me, is just a generic cowl. I was making a tube cowl using white birch fiber art, and nothing says screw you like a rainbow. And the yarn is gorgeous, but I'm not happy with this as a cowl. It's boring, and I'm not sure how much I would wear it, and I know I would wear socks, so I'm probably gonna rip that out and make socks at some point with it, which is what I had originally intended to do with it in the first place. So, that's all my works in progress. Oh, wait. I lied. Spinning. I do have some spinning. I was away from my wheel for 8 days, and I missed spinning so much. I had actually meant to grab a spindle to have with me just in case I just wanted to spin just for a few minutes, and I forgot to pack it. So one of the first things I did yesterday was I had taken the last bit of the Knit Spin Farm bat and plied it with the remaining of, what was it? The Three Waters Farm that I had talked about the last time in the, I don't even remember what colorway, but I plied the rest, those two together for a really small skein, but I had left it on the wheel. So I had to take that off, and then I put something else on the wheel almost immediately. And I managed to spin half a braid yesterday, which is really unusual for me. Well, I think during Tour de Fleece last year, I was going pretty fast. But I'm a much thinner spinner now, so the fact that I spun that much was a surprise to me. And I'm actually hoping I can get the other half spun today. So that is Rock and String Creations. The colorway is Mine of the Seven Dwarves in Superwash BFL. And it's, if you think about Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, any of the scenes that show the jewels in the mine, it's those colors, reds and just jewel tones, reds and yellows and blues. And I think there's some green and some purple. And I am going to going to do all of that onto one bobbin. And then I have another skein of Rock and String Creations in the denim colorway, which is a pretty blue, and I think it's merino, but I can't remember right now. And I'm going to spin that up, and I'm going to apply the two together. So that is all of my works in progress.
Okay, my turn?
Yeah.
All right. The only really active things that I really want to talk about is I'm just doing a vanilla sock. I'm really just using kind of my own. You know, I've done enough socks so that I don't really have to look at a pattern for the most part. So I'm just kind of like cranking out a pair of socks in it's the Savvy Skeins Como sock, and the colorway is Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh, that's the one you bought it.
That's the one I bought at Yellow Rose. Yeah. And it's a self-striping, and it's kind of like a conservative gray, and then the white stripes have these what looks like splashes of blood and this kind of angry green. So
that's knitting up so cool.
It's
very
really
different from what I would have thought it would look like in the skein.
And it's really, so, and it's just a plain sock because that kind of goes with the shoes that I tend to wear, so I know that I'll wear it more. And what I discovered is, I brought this, I usually bring this as like non-thinking knitting, because I usually bring it to like to church and or if I need to do a webinar. But I brought this to a bouncy house birthday party, as one does, and it happened to be a blacklight thing. And so I ended up taking a picture and putting it on Instagram. The white glowed purple, as one would suspect, but then I discovered the green is very neon, and so it was like glowing really hot during it. So if we ever need, so I thought, you know what, let's do some rave knitting, you know. So, black light knitting. Anyway, so it was really fun. And the other thing that my other active thing is I'm doing, I looked on the, because we're going to Houston Fiber Fest, which I know we'll talk about, but I looked and said, oh, there's a knit along. Let me see. And it's their mascot, Lester the Lester, which is a sheep with some cowboy boots and a little hat. And so I was really excited. I'm like, I can do this. And then I started looking on the Ravelry group and they're talking about like a Lester Corral.
Oh, cute.
And like some of the vendors.
At it.
You do. Yeah. Like some of the vendors said, oh, I'll give you 10% off if you have Lester with you. I'm like,
oh, wow.
All right. So not only is it like a really interesting construction, the body kind of knits up like a hat with these puffs and,
this is so perfect for you because you always knit something to have with you. It seems like,
I know, because it takes away a lot of my social anxiety. So I'm really excited. I haven't figured out what kind of, you know, because I always do a variation on a knit along and especially if it's a stuffy, and I haven't quite figured out what I'm going to do yet. So watch your screens because I don't know yet, but those are the only, so if you're doing everybody do a Lester. I think it's really super cute. It's knitting up quick.
Yeah. I might have to do
that. And it's like the construction is interesting and the instructions are really the pattern is by Natasha Sills and it's really straightforward. It's mostly knit in the round. So the seaming is at a minimum. Mm-hmm. There's some Kitchener stitches in there, which, you know, if you do socks, that's no big deal. And there's a mattress stitch in there, which is, if you do animals, that's no big deal. Or, you know, if you do sweaters too, it's no big deal.
It's my favorite, but
nobody likes steaming.
I'd rather do Kitchener than
me too.
Mattress.
But I have to do Laura's sweater at Christmas. I really understand it now. I'm just not that great at it.
I used to do like overhand for a lot of my animals because I'm just like, ah, screw it, and I'll just like do it up. And then I think I did one animal where I did a proper mattress stitch and it looks so much better. So I'm convinced it's worth, yes, I suck at it, but it's worth taking the time to do because it just looks really neat.
Yeah, it is. It's a nicer finish.
But I'm enjoying doing this a lot, and I just think this is perfect. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody else's Lesters and what they do, because already the pictures on Ravelry are these really nice variations, as one would suspect.
So are you planning to cast anything on soon?
Oh, yes. Okay, so yeah, I was kind of like wandering without a goal for a while there. And then I had two things that kind of hit me in the face. I've got the Houston Fiber Fest that we're going to come up to. And then I'm also going to need to do, I'm going to do the Mesh Lace Capelet by Jenna Boese? B-O-E-S-E.
Anyway.
Yeah. For a cosplay for my daughter for Comic Palooza, which I'll also talk about when we talk about events. Have I mentioned my daughter's into Pokemon lately? And of course she finds this like random obscure Pokemon called a Skitty because it's the closest thing to cats. And so for Comic Palooza, she wants to be a Skitty Pokemon trainer. So we have ears that I bought and then I found a nice concept design on Pinterest of like just a cream dress and then it had this cute pink cape. So I'm going to try and do a little mesh cape that'll match her ears and then she'll have a little skitty that she carries and she'll stop everyone and explain what she is because that's
as one does.
Yes. But that's the only thing that I have, the things that I'm feeling a time pressure for.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Katie? Any other, you said you have a whole bunch of stuff lined up for June 1st.
To cast off.
Oh, to cast off.
Yeah,
right, not to
I
cast
have those
off.
Two shawls. I've just been going through my stash, trying to put together projects so I can get 3 or 5 points for Into the Wool. The next thing I have is Gather, which is another Tin Can Knits pattern. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use Daisy Knits that you got me.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it was good that you bought me stuff.
Yeah.
when you went in the Dewy DK, and it's in a nice dark purple. So it's like a smocked hat. Mm-hmm. It's smocked in the front. So, No, that's next in the queue, but I need to get back to a couple other whips for around your neck. Go back to my Paris du Jours and decide if I want to frog a couple of things.
I don't know what I have a lot of ideas in my head about things I want to cast on, but I can't decide. I'm having kind of analysis paralysis. I have too many options. I'll talk about this in acquisitions, but I bought some undead yarn recently, and then while I was gone, I bought CC Almond released a pattern that was a cowl pattern. I can't remember. I don't remember if it was Outlander themed, and I can't remember. There was something about 18th century gentleman. I don't remember the name of the pattern. It was in the middle of my conference. I can't remember anything, but I bought it and I thought it would look really nice with this yarn. So that's a possibility. That would get me a point, at least 1 point for the spotlight cowl. I was looking through the recommended patterns on Ravelry today, and there's a new Nelnet pattern that she released within the past little while that was a really pretty shawl. That is another possibility. I just haven't thought about what yarn I would use yet. But yeah, no firm plans. Well, that kind of segues into acquisitions, because I mentioned, sorry, I'm, where am I? Hermione's everyday sock is brainless. I mean, yeah, pretty much mindless knitting until you...
Brainless.
That's about right, too. Until you actually stop to do something and you're like, what was I doing? So like I mentioned, I bought some undead yarn. Heidi had posted a picture on Instagram of a skein that she did and said that she liked it so much she was going to keep another one, but there was one in the shop and I immediately bought the one that was in the shop. It's called Midnight Graveyard, and in my head it's brown, but when I looked at it today it's gray, kind of a gray brown. It's more gray, less brown than I had pictured it. And Heidi's probably sitting there thinking, no, it's this color. But in my head, it's kind of a brownish gray. It's really pretty. It's got sparkle. And I think, like I said, I think it would make a really nice, a nice cowl. So I bought that before my trip. And then, so the first day I got there, I got in about 1 o'clock to my hotel, and my training didn't start until the next day, so I had plenty of time. And I had, of course, looked up yarn stores, and I actually messaged Amy Beth, the Fat Squirrel, to ask. Basically, what I wanted to know was whether or not it was safe to walk from my hotel to this area, because I didn't know anything about it. And actually, finally, I was having this Facebook conversation with some other people, and it seemed okay. It was less than 2 miles there, and the weather was nice. And then right as I started going, I actually got a message back from Amy Beth telling me, yeah, that should be perfectly safe, and it actually has sidewalks, which apparently is not always the case.
No.
So I took off. I knew there was a restaurant that had been recommended to me that was along the way that was only open till 3. So I took off. I got there about 2:30, and I'll talk about the restaurant in the kitchen. But the yarn store was maybe a half mile further along. So I ended up walking there, and it was Mass Avenue Knits in Indianapolis. And was greeted by someone who told me that she wasn't the owner, but she was happy to give me a tour and showed me where everything was. And everybody was very nice. And I browsed for probably about 30 minutes and finally ended up deciding on a Wonderland Yarns messenger kit, which is 516 yards of the Mad Hatter base, which is a sport weight. It has one large skein that's a dark gray, and then two smaller skeins of a lighter gray. And it's enough to make either a shawl, two hats, or a hat and a pair of mitts. And the patterns for all of those are included. So I haven't decided what I'll do with it yet, but I'm leaning towards probably the hat and mitts. just because a DK weight shawl isn't something that I would wear that often. But that was nice. And then the other thing I splurged on was a skein, excuse me, a skein of Mimi hand-dyed 100% mink in the flamenco colorway, which is kind of blues and purples and maybe some like magenta in there. And that's the one I really wish that I had brought with me because it is so soft. So actually, that reminded me that Katie and I had talked about a challenge for Stash Dash. And I'm willing to lay my mink on the table if you are interested in the mink. No? No. Okay, well, we'll find something else. Fine. Great. I get to keep it. But it's super soft, and it's not the... The cost was no more than a skein of sock yarn, and it was 300 and something yards. Wow. So it was not, I mean, it wasn't a huge splurge, but it was really pretty, really, very soft. But, so we've mentioned a few events. I know the first one coming up is a Darcy event. So
yeah, we have two major geeky cons in the Houston area. There are a lot more in Galveston too, but, the one that I'm going to is in June. It's normally this weekend, but for this year, because of circumstances, Comicpalooza is going to be in June. It's actually going to be Father's Day weekend, and that's, the 17th through the 19th. And I mentioned my daughter is going to do some cosplay. I'll do some cosplay, too. I actually do three panels for it, for the library, on that Friday. On that Friday at 10, I'll be doing Comics Are For Everyone with a co-presenter. We've done this a lot of times. It's basically, we talk about that there's a comic, no matter what kind of book you like, there's a comic in that genre, and it's just finding the right comic for you. Mm-hmm. And usually we get a good turnout for that because there's nothing else to do. So we get usually about like 15 people to that. On Saturday, which is the big day, I'm going to be doing with a colleague, Real Wonder Women and You, which will be kind of like feminism in comics.
Cool.
And then, later on that afternoon in the kids area, I'm going to be doing a cosplay your plushie, which is basically bring your stuffed animal and we'll make like capes and crowns and all sorts. We'll have like, it'll be kind of like a hands-on craft.
Fun.
Kind of thing.
That sounds like
yeah,
fun.
it's gonna be fun. I like Comicpalooza anyway. I usually get to see people that I don't normally see in a long time. And we've been, because the library's been doing panels for that for, I think I mentioned, about 5 years now.
That seems about right.
Yeah. So it's gonna be, I'm looking forward to it. Although this, I keep thinking this may be my last year for panels. I think I'm kind of tired of doing that part and I just want to just go.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't blame you. And then we've mentioned Houston Fiber Fest. That is coming up June 24th and 25th.
Yeah, that's the weekend afterwards. We were at a committee and it's so funny because we were talking about Comicpalooza.
And the look on my face.
Oh my gosh, it was like, she gave me like this horrified, like, you aren't going to have to choose. I'm like, no. I'm just going to be very tired.
Yeah, I had it in my head that, that Fiberfest was the week before.
No,
I actually had to go look at the website just to make sure.
I'm going to be very tired.
Yeah, I bet. That is in Cypress, Texas, which is northwest of Houston. It's about a 30-minute to 45-minute drive for me.
For you.
Yeah, for Katie and Darcy, that's probably, maybe 15 minutes. Shave 15 to 20 minutes off that. We will all be there. I think we'll all be there. I know for sure that Darcy and I will be there.
Right.
On Saturday, and like I said,
because you're driving.
Yeah, and I haven't been here, so I'm not actually sure what Katie's plans are at this point.
I have a possible trade worked out.
Yay!
I need to confirm with him if we're going to take a vacation or not. If that's okay that I work a certain weekend to trade with Lisa,
mm-hmm.
Because Brad didn't want to trade and. It has to be a two or a three, so somebody can be in charge and all that. So, I'm still probably going to go Friday because I want to be in the door.
There is a part of me that wants to take an extra day off, but I think I probably won't. I'm really hoarding my vacation time.
Yeah, kind of having to as well. I'm conserving my energy because I just know the weekend before is going to be exhausting. Yeah.
The exciting part of that is, and I'm sure they're all sold out now, but Romy Hill is actually teaching classes.
There were classes open earlier this week.
Really?
Because I'm like, well, if I'm going to take, you know, Friday off, and I looked, and the brioche class was like the only class I really, because I don't care about lace, I don't care about beads. But that was sold out. But there was one or two of her classes that had been still open when I looked earlier. Because
I was really interested in taking the beading one, but I would have to take time off work to do it. And I just don't know. I don't want to take any classes on Saturday because there's a whole bunch of friends from the San Antonio and Austin area that are coming in. And I don't want to spend my time in a class when I could be hanging out with friends. And by the way, Darcy, there's a whole bunch of people coming from Austin and San Antonio that want to have lunch.
So we
should have a big group on that. So I'm really excited
to go.
Yeah, I remember last year when I went, there's not a whole lot around there. So I'm going to start doing some research and see if we can. Sarah and I went to a
Sarah might know someplace.
I don't mean this. This sounds so bad. I don't really want to reach out to her because I don't think she would want to come and hang out with all of the people that we're going to be hanging out with, and I don't want her to feel left out. But we went to a Mexican restaurant that wasn't that far. But
you got vegetarians and stuff.
I'm gonna look around because I hadn't looked very hard, and I'm sure there's something.
I'm game for anything, but
And other people may be doing the same thing too and have some ideas. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Actually. Knit your lusters, have ideas.
Yes.
That's your to-do list.
And then Katie and I are going to the End of the Wool Fiber Retreat on September 1st through 4th in Crossville, Tennessee. And I'm sure that even if all of the spots aren't taken, the deadline is passed for that. So I'm not sure that there's any way to go if you aren't going, but I know that there are at least a few people who listen who will be there. I'm really looking forward to seeing people that I met 2 years ago and hanging out with friends that are coming this year for the first time. So that'll be a lot of fun, and I cannot wait to do that. So, the summer reading knit-along. I've posted details in the group. I'm not going to go over full details here, just because if you want to hear that, you can go back and listen to the last episode, episode 71. But the basics are, it will run from June 1st to September 30th. Whoops count. You have to be a member of the group to join. And there are 4 categories: short story, which is projects 50 to 100 yards. I think I might have edited this on the notes. The short story, novel, chunkster, and box set. If you want to see the specifics, go double check the notes from last time or check the Ravelry group, because I am not 100% sure that these are correct that I'm looking at right now. But basically, small projects, very small projects, are short story. Novel are basically one skein projects. A chunkster is anything bigger. And a box set is sets of multiple items that wouldn't count otherwise. So blanket squares, dishcloths, baby hats, preemie hats, that type of thing you could do as a box set. And then there is a chatter thread if you don't want to deal with yardage at all, because I know Darcy is not a yardage person.
I just do.
Love counting every freaking yard.
If you don't want to deal with that at all, you can just post your finished objects in the chatter thread, and we'll pick randomly from that for a prize too. We just ask that if you are posting in another category, don't post your finished object in the chatter thread as well. Just don't double dip there. As far as double dipping with other knit-alongs this summer, that is no problem at all. And then, you know, and just any other chatter, like any, we'll go into that thread. So we really hope to get a lot of participation. I've had at least one person say she was really excited about the knit along. So hopefully people will spread the word and people will join in. The other part of it that it is a part of it, but I'm thinking this, I'm hoping this will be an ongoing thing, is the cookbook club. And
we talked briefly about it.
So we'll vote on a cookbook or a cooking website to cook along from. So it's a cook along instead of a knit along. And we'll do that each month and just make and review recipes from that. I started a poll yesterday, which is a little late, so I'm going to leave that up through June 15th. I have 3 options on there right now to vote for. I am more than willing for ongoing to accept suggestions. For this one, I just wanted to get something up there. So the first was called, I think it's called Cravings, which is an actual physical book that had, you know, had a lot of different things. I haven't looked at the physical copy. I did notice that we have it at the library, or at least are getting it at the library. There's a Kindle copy, and you can pick it up at the bookstore if you want, if that one wins. The other two were the Smitten Kitchen website, which is a really popular website, and that'll have something for everyone. And then the other one was, oh gosh, Skinny Taster? Something like that. Again, see the Ravelry group for specifics, and it will be in the show notes. And it was something along the more healthy side, but the recipes that I looked at actually looked good. And again, should have options for all different types. There was actually, her menu had different dietary restrictions as you can choose. Okay. So there was a paleo, and there was a, I can't think of another option. Paleo is the only one that I can think of right now. But there were a lot of gluten-free and, okay, you know, vegetarian. So a lot of different options there. So go over to the Ravelry group and choose. Like I said, we'll have that open through June 15th. And because we're starting on that one late, we'll actually run this one through the end of June and then all of July. And then sometime in mid-July, we'll post another poll, and like I said, feel free to submit suggestions in there, and we can add them all to the poll, or I'll keep them for future reference too. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. I just hope, so far I'm the only person that voted, and I only voted because I wanted it to look like somebody actually cared.
I'll go look.
Yeah. But, I got a lot of likes on, I did post it on Instagram. I got a lot of likes, but no one had headed over to do that. So if you are interested at all, please make a choice. And I'm looking forward to that. I was looking through all of them this morning and getting hungry and wanting to cook. I haven't cooked a meal. I made some biscuits last night, but I haven't been in the kitchen.
I'm getting the itching to bake this weekend, so maybe I'll have something to talk about next time.
My husband texted me while I was on my trip and said, can we chat about our health?
Like, by text?
I was like, well, I'm in the middle of a session jammed, you know, squeezed between my bosses right now. So now's not the good time. But he is wanting to make a conscious effort to at least, you know, make better choices and exercise more and, you know, cut down the carbs a little bit. He actually told me that every time he wanted a beer, he was pouring a beer down the sink.
Whoa.
Which is huge. I mean, he's not an alcoholic, and he's not, you know, he doesn't drink a whole lot of beer, but he drinks one or two.
But for him,
he decided that was a, you know, that was an easy carb to cut down on. So he's
if Will Wheaton can do it, he can do it.
Yeah, he's like, this is something that I can give up. So, and I texted back and said, is wine okay? He laughed, but it's like, you know, no, really, you know, I'd like to be able to have something, and I don't want to, you know, but at the same time, I don't want to sidetrack him. So,
yeah. So we have that issue is we have that discussion once a week, you know, we need to do, you know, need to quit eating junk or whatever. Well, he does the grocery shopping, so mm-hmm. he controls what comes in the house, mm-hmm. but he'll go away for a weekend or overnight, and I'll go buy a whole bunch of junk, candy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And So yeah, and then you know, pie once or twice a week and
some pie.
I don't really make it home, but yeah, and so he was wanting to train for the marathon, which I don't think is going to happen, but we need to do this, we need to do, you know, we talk a big game, but it never happened.
Yeah,
happens.
I know.
It never
happened.
But we're good for like 3 days, and then, you know, we backtrack.
Usually I'm the one that's talking. Jimmy will talk a lot about it, but it doesn't actually do anything about it. I hope he doesn't listen to this. Because I don't mean that in a bad way. But typically I tend, as far as exercise, it's the opposite. He tends to be the one to push me out the door. But food-wise, mainly just because I'm the one in the kitchen more often, I tend to make those decisions. So he seems, and I asked him, okay, would you be willing to, maybe do, cook together? That would help. And he's on board with that too. So I'm looking forward to the summer. We do a lot of grilling in the summer and just kind of looking and seeing what kind of foods we can cook.
Summer is easier to eat.
It is.
Because you have more vegetables
and
fruit.
So y'all know that I've done Blue Apron for
right.
a long time. I have skipped so many weeks. I mean, I've probably skipped 2 months worth of meals because I'm discovering I don't like summer vegetables.
Really?
None of them, like, I don't like peas and I don't like squash and zucchini and all of these things. They are beautiful, but I don't
eat
them.
That's what I miss most about the Midwest is having a garden.
Yeah. And my husband's been gardening and it's been going crazy. He's been growing corn, although he's been concerned with the storm. Some of them have fallen down.
Mm-hmm.
But we're figuring, I just look out and watch him, and it's like his cooking. The corn will be ready in about 3 weeks. He's already brought in some tomatoes. He's got like several different varieties.
I like corn. I like tomatoes.
And the tomatoes, it's funny because my daughter.
You need to give any away.
I've already have some people that are really, so if the tomatoes have been in abundance. We've his cherry tomatoes. We had a couple.
We always did really well with cherry tomatoes. We couldn't get the bigger ones because the birds would eat them.
He's trying something that's called, what is it called? It's called the mortgage lifter, and it's supposed to like grow up to a pound.
Whoa!
And already it's like fist sized.
Wow!
It's green and fist sized. So my concern is the birds around that it won't survive. But the cherry tomatoes have come in, and
those are great to just pop in your mouth.
And I was surprised my daughter actually.
We're in the kitchen at this point. Yes.
My daughter. I was surprised because my daughter she actually ate it. Although she says she liked the juice, she didn't like the skin. So she carefully peels off the skin, sucks it out, and then gives me this hole and says, "Mom, go give this to Dad to compost." I'm like. Thank you. She's a weird kid.
Yeah.
But she'll eat the tomatoes. She'll eat the tomatoes and she'll eat the beans because my husband's trying what's called the Three Sisters Garden.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, it's the corn and then it has the beans are wrapping around it, although he's a little concerned that they're wrapping too tightly. And then squash at the bottom and it's supposed to have like a new, support each other and do it in a way so that weeds don't get in and the nutrient, they use different nutrients. I don't know. It's a thing. So, it's been going really well. Yeah.
We used to have boxes out there and Dave would start plants in the foyer. Mm-hmm. So kind of like we were growing plants. But, I made friends in the basement when we did tomatoes and we did spinach and lettuce. That turned out really well, but
I don't think we had
the drought and he got lazy and
it's a lot of work,
I
know for my husband, it's like that he goes out, he puts on his kilt and he goes out and looks at his boxes with the dogs. And it's, I think he's pretending like he's this manor lord. I know it's adorable. It's really kind of cute. So I hope he'll never listen to this.
Yes. So we're well established in the kitchen here. So I was telling Katie earlier and Darcy, Katie was here last week. So
We did.
So the happy news is that my ovens are actually working. I'm not going to go into great detail. Turned out there was a short and an outlet in the dining room that seemed to be affecting both that and the hood that had never worked in the house. So great news. It's a little scary. I'm not the fact that one outlet was affecting the ovens. But both of them are working, and that's great. I think we still want to replace them because they're old, but it's not urgent anymore. A proof that they were working is I baked a yellow cake for, for Jimmy's birthday, I don't know if I mentioned this last time, for his birthday, he had wanted a yellow cake with mocha frosting. That was what he requested. And then we went camping and we had friends that were supposed to join us who couldn't. And so ultimately we ended up having cheesecake from Cheesecake Factory on his birthday, which was delicious, but it hadn't really...
He still wanted, and I fully understand
that you want something until you have it. You're gonna want it. So when Jimmy left, he went to pick Laura up from college. So yeah, Laura is home from college for the summer. Yay! He went to pick her up, and the day that they came back, I baked a cake for her coming back and for him. A belated birthday cake for him. So I baked a yellow cake with mocha buttercream frosting. I didn't look up the recipes to put in the show notes, but I can find them. And they were just, it was off of, actually, I had searched Pinterest for this thinking surely I would find it. And I found yellow cake and I found buttercream, but I just put in yellow cake with mocha buttercream frosting in Google and found the exact recipe I wanted. I modified it for a sheet cake instead of a layered cake because I just didn't feel like dealing with that. And it was pretty good. The cake was a little dry, but the frosting was delicious. It was really, really good. It was milk chocolate with coffee, and Jimmy makes French press a lot, and I'll make it occasionally. But I made French press, but made it a little stronger than we normally make it. So my cup of coffee was super good that morning, and then added it into the frosting. It was really good. So I'm really having a sweet tooth. and then, of course, I was gone for 8 days, so I had to try lots of different restaurants.
Tenderloin.
So first thing on my list is the obligatory pork tenderloin review for Katie. Katie's mandate was that I had to eat a pork tenderloin for her. And going in, I honestly had no idea I knew that it was fried, but I didn't know, I actually had to text her. I was like, so is that a sandwich? because I kept seeing it on menus. There was, I actually ate two because the first one I had was underwhelming. The hotel bar had it on the menu. Some of the first night, I guess it was the first night I was there. That's what I had. And the tenderloin itself was,
it didn't look great in the picture.
It reminded me of, honestly, it reminded me of like school lunches, like the frozen patty. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't anything great. And so I was texting Katie pictures and she said, all it needs is ketchup and pickles. Well, they had one, like a pickle spear on the side, but no pickles. And I did dip it in ketchup because I don't like ketchup enough to put it all over my sandwich, but I did dip it and it was okay, but it was, I wanted to give it another shot. So a few days later, a bunch of us went out for lunch during our training. And there was another pub around the corner called Lock Miller's Pub. And they had one on the menu. And so I got it from there. And it was much better. It was thinner. It looked like it had been freshly fried in the restaurant. It was good. It was a little dry. And I think if I liked ketchup or another sauce or been on it, I think I would have liked it better. Or I don't do lettuce and tomato. Like if I had had.
We're not supposed to put lettuce and tomato.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's like a hamburger. Everyone has their opinion, and I'm all about the pickle and the ketchup.
I would eat it again.
She's going to see this picture with mayonnaise. I go, mayonnaise doesn't go on that. She goes, well, I'm not putting it on there. I said, well, it doesn't go on there.
But it was, it was good. Being from Texas, it reminds me if you took a chicken fried steak and put it on a sandwich, except it's pork instead of beef.
I don't understand why they don't have them down here. Yeah. Because we love fried food in Texas.
I'm kind of surprised. Other things have made their way. Like pork barbecues got this way into Texas.
Down here that
I think that's probably part of it.
Well, when I moved to Texas,
the whole Yankee takeover.
When I moved to Texas in the '80s, you couldn't find pork barbecue anywhere, and that's made an influx over the past maybe 10 years or so. You see,
I actually demanded pulled pork this weekend. We were watching.
I love pork barbecue.
We were watching Rhett and Link do a taste test of all these pulled pork. I'm like, this has to happen this weekend, and my husband had to oblige me.
So I would be willing to try them again. There was a bar. It was the Indianapolis Colts Grill that was not too far. It seemed like a pretty standard place, but it had one on the menu that had panko crust and had a sriracha mayo or something. It's like you're talking
I
about.
I wish you could see the look on Katie's face. It's really beautiful.
It sounded like an interesting take on it. And I would have been interested to try just another variation on it.
Stupid fusion.
I feel pretty confident that I could find one that I really liked. The two I had were not the best thing I'd had. But we did have some other really good food. So I was there for 3 nights by myself, and then my boss flew in on the fourth night and was there for 5 nights, and we roomed together. So the first night, we went to a place called Yard House, which is basically a huge sports bar, but with a huge beer menu. There were like 120 beers on the menu.
Did you get a beer?
I did.
Which one?
They had several sours, which is what I'm all about.
Okay.
I don't remember, and it's probably too far back in my texts to show it, but it was a Belgian sour, something with apricot.
And Belgian beer is always going to be, that's always a good bet.
It was kind of more like a combination between a cider and a sour, but it wasn't overly sweet. It was really good and probably the best sour I've ever had. So I really liked that. And then for dinner, I had mac and cheese that had like bacon and it was really good. I don't remember what Judith had. I think she had a salad that she liked.
Why?
It had steak or something on it. It looked pretty good.
It's bacon.
There were a lot of things on the menu that I would have liked to have tried, and I would have been willing to go back there another night too, had more people wanted to go. But, there is apparently one in City Center in Houston, so that might be a fun place to kind of maybe meet up and go sometime, because the beer menu was excellent. And then the last two nights, I won't talk about the horrid banquet food that we had for 4 meals. Everyone else has heard it, so just lunches and one dinner had a lot to be desired. Except for the desserts. The desserts were okay, and the bread was good.
The snacks.
The entrees were not good.
The snacks that you were posting were really good.
Oh, no, that's true. They gave us really, really good snacks in our training. We had a morning and afternoon snack. It was like preschool. both, almost every day. I think one day we only had a morning snack, and one day we only had an afternoon snack. But we had like homemade, or not homemade, but, you know, soft pretzels and build your own trail mix, which was a lot of fun. And ice cream one day. We got to, like, build our own sundaes. Excellent snacks.
We need this at work. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. We just need a station with the Build Your Own Trail mix. That would work. Yeah, that would work,
okay.
too. Yeah. But then two nights. So apparently a former librarian, Summa, started this tradition during conferences of going out to very nice meals. So Judith decided that she needed to carry on the tradition.
Aww.
And so we went out two nights with, one night was just our Houston, they're all Houston area, but just specifically our workplace employees went out to a place called Spoke and Steel, they're both downtown Indianapolis. This one was really in the heart of downtown in a hotel called Le Meridian. And very trendy, like really fancy cocktails. There was one that was on there and I can't remember what it was called, but it's served on a cedar plank and it has smoke and it looked intriguing, but I was a little afraid. But I had my first Manhattan which was a blackberry Manhattan. It was delicious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love a good Manhattan.
It was so good. It was really good. I took my first sip, I'm like, whoa. But then it just had, like, a really nice finish. And then I had a pork chop that came with Brussels sprouts, like fried Brussels sprouts with some kind of, like, maple glaze or something. It was absolutely delicious. We got, for the table, Mormon funeral potatoes. Apparently, the chef is Mormon, and this was his recipe and his name, so it wasn't any type of derogatory comment. But it was, if you've ever had funeral potatoes or the hash brown casserole, this is hash browns and, like, cream of mushroom soup with potato chips or cornflakes on top. It was basically...
Yeah, one of those basic kind of, like,
that's exactly what it was, but it was all homemade, and it had a mushroom cream sauce and cornflakes on top, and it was just a little spicy, and it was so good.
Oh, my
god! Now, I texted Jimmy, and I was like, now I want to play with the hash brown casserole recipe and, like, make something better out of this. So that was really good. And then the next night, we went to a place called Cerulean, which was also very trendy. It was a little southeast of downtown. It's a little further of a walk for us. But I was a little wary looking at all of the pictures on Yelp. It was one of these places. All of the servings looked very fancy, very expensive, and small. But this was one of the best meals I've ever had. It was so incredibly good. We got a cheese board, and this was my workplace plus a couple of other Houston area librarians who were still in town. And so we had a cheese board that had, like, gorgonzola and cheddar and camembert and just a whole bunch of stuff and French bread to go with that. And then I had another pork chop for my main meal, but this one was better. And it had some type of cream sauce on it, and we got these crispy potatoes. It was just incredible. It was so incredibly good. And then I was so full, I wouldn't even look at the dessert. Well, no, I would look at the dessert menu, but I was like, I'm not going to get any dessert. And then was convinced they had a cookie bento box that we ended up getting for the table. And I had half of a macaron, and that was all I could handle. But then ended up taking the rest home, and that was actually my dinner on Thursday night when I flew in, because it was too late. I got home about 10:30 at night, and I didn't want a full meal, so I ate cookies. So that was it was such a good meal. It was one of those meals that I want to go. It would be, if you're in the Indianapolis area and you want to, I mean, it's not a go-to casual, it's a special event kind of restaurant, but if you are looking for a nice place, this was really, really good, and I would recommend it. So that was Cerulean, and it's on Delaware, South Delaware, I think, in Indianapolis. That's our very long in the kitchen, which is great because we haven't had a good in the kitchen segment in so long. So, reading and watching, I think we're just talking about reading this time, and I've been talking for a long time, so I'll let somebody else talk.
I've started, my hold came in on Dune by Frank Herbert, which is, one of those science fiction classics, and I'd never read it before, so I'm reading, my hold is only for 3 weeks, and I'm reading as fast as I can, but it's really engaging. I'm really kind of, I like it a lot, and I don't have anything
I'd like to pick that up.
I don't know, because normally I avoid the bookstop epic books with, like, 12 books behind it, because I'm thinking, like, I really don't want to give my life to this. But, yeah. And usually, when I start a series, I'll read the first one, and then I'll just read Wikipedia. But...
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it a lot. Yeah. And that's kind of taking up my time.
I'll go ahead and go next, because I only have a couple, and I think Katie has a longer list, so... I finished Becoming Steve Jobs by Brent Schlender, and I talked about this some last time, I think, but I really enjoyed this. I was reading. That is what I was reading.
Yeah, last time.
It was, I felt like a very balanced memoir, biography of Steve Jobs. It was not sugar-coated. The guy, I mean, there were a couple of, I mean, he was very candid about a couple of things that, you know, were about Steve Jobs having done not to him personally, but he had been involved with, like, he just seemed to have gotten offended and quit working with him at one point. And, I mean, he has a reputation of being a jerk, and that apparently, that is very much true, but he also had a softer side. And I really, really enjoyed it. There were a couple of times that it was just very surreal when I was reading about Steve Jobs and Apple inventing the iPad, when I'm reading it on my iPad with my Apple Watch on one hand and my iPhone in my other hand because I was texting my husband. It was just a little... Yeah, I am a total Apple geek. But that is... I have not read any of the other biographies of Steve Jobs. I would highly recommend this one if you want to. From what I understand, is not as scathing. And then I am currently reading The Dream Thieves by Maggie Stiefvater, which is the second in the Raven Cycle series. I had read the first one, I think it was before Christmas. I think it was before Laura came home, and Laura and I kind of bonded over the series. And so I want to read it, and she's currently reading it too. She had started it before she came home. She's almost done with it. I'm only a little less than halfway done with it. The Maggie Stiefvater's writing is really good. It's a YA book, but her writing is very lyrical. I just really like her style, and I really like the characters. This is the second, like I said, it's the second in the series. There are two more in the series. The fourth one just came out in, it was either April, I think it was, yeah, it was, yeah, late April was when it came out, and we actually got Laura a signed copy. Maggie Stiefvater was a local bookstore, and we weren't able to make it to the reading, but we were able to order a copy to be signed for her. So that was actually the last time. That was right before we recorded last time. I was supposed to go pick it up, and Jimmy ended up going to do that. So I would recommend that series so far. And I think right now, I think I'm going to go ahead and read through the series before, which I don't usually do, read them back to back, but I think I kind of want to just plow through the series.
My turn?
Yep, your turn.
Go.
Okay. I finished reading Winter's Kiss, which is the third in the series, the final book, in the Winter's series by Marie Rutkowski. It's a YA book. It's not necessarily dystopian or fantasy, even though that's what comes up in in Goodreads. But it's a story about Kestrel, who is the general's daughter, who, in order to save the boy she loves, Aaron, is gonna wed the king or emperor's son or whatever. And so Kestrel becomes a spy for Aaron, but Aaron doesn't know that she's the spy. And she confesses in a letter to Aaron, and the letter gets intercepted. And so Winter's Kiss is, I don't know if this is spoilers or not, is her being sent off, and Aaron's doesn't know that she's been sent off, and then he finds out, and so he goes and saves her, and they take down the emperor. It was a good conclusion to the end of the story. I've read all three of them. They were pretty good. I finished reading Suddenly You by Lisa Kleppis. It's a historical romance. I've actually never read any Lisa Kleppis, and she's written quite a bit. One night, Sarah McLean, who's a historical romance writer, had this Twitter binge where she just started spewing out, you know, all her top romances. And I'm sure she's got them. They're archived somewhere, probably like on her website or whatever. But this was one that she had recommended. I like historical romance anyway, but it was about a lady... You know, because once you're past the age of 18, you're a spinster on the shelf.
Right.
In historical romance.
So she's an author, and she's 30, and or she's going to turn 30, and so, you know, she's never had a man. So for her birthday, she orders a companion.
Wow.
And she's on the plump side, not necessarily big, but, you know, she's got some curves to her and stuff. And so through other means or whatever, this gentleman comes to her. Well, his name is actually Jack, and he's a publisher, and he has bought her first book from another publisher and wants to have her kind of tweak it and rewrite it into a serial, kind of like how, you know, because this is kind of written around the time, like, where Dickens was doing all the serial stuff, and that was the new thing to do. So, you know, then there's the angst and all that. It was pretty good. I liked it. I think I gave it 4 stars on Goodreads. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely read more of her stuff. She's a mainstay, I think, in the historical romance. And then I just started reading The Weekenders by Mary Kay Andrews. I don't read a lot of contemporary chick lit, but she's one of those that I read every time a book comes out. She came to Houston last year or the year before. I'd have to look at the book cover. Real nice lady. Only like 3 or 4 ladies showed up though to the book signing. I always feel so bad when that happens.
I do too!
They did that for, there's more people for Catherine Ashe. But for Mary Kay Andrews, it was like 4 people. I'm like, she's a best-selling author.
Yeah, I'm like,
that's bizarre.
It was kind of really weird.
Was that at the Katie?
Yeah, it was Katie Budget Books. Yeah. But she was a real nice lady, and, anyway, so it's always nice to at least hear them talk and give their point of view on how they write or, and stuff. And so I'm about halfway through The Weekenders. She usually tends to write about middle-aged women, so women 35 to 45 that are divorced or getting divorced or having some life crisis and, you know, find their way back to love.
So Henlit kind of stuff.
Kind of, okay. Yeah. But in Mary Kay Andrews likes to write about North Carolina, South Carolina, the islands, having being on an island or a summer vacation home or whatever. So it always is set in that setting.
Okay.
So this one is about Riley, who used to be a TV anchor. She's early 40s, has a daughter. Spoiler, her husband gets murdered. This is the first one that's had really a mystery in it. And so she comes to find out that her husband has taken her trust fund, bought all this land, all their properties are foreclosed, he's taking all this money, and so we're kind of at the point where she's got to figure out, well, who killed them. So they're usually pretty quick reads. I needed a palate cleanser anyway, so this will be a good breakup of the YA and historical romance. Yeah. So that's all I'm reading right now.
I think that's it too.
I'm ready for lunch.
I am ready for lunch. I am. I'm starving.
It's so too.
Yeah. So thanks for listening. And we haven't looked at a calendar to figure out when we'll record again. I know that it should be right up against Comic Palooza
and
the Yarn Fest or Fiber Fest. So it may be, if it's Comic Palooza weekend, we'll probably just be me and Katie again.
Yeah, and because I will be very busy.
If Fiberfest, we may try to fit something in somehow. But
that'll be fun. Yeah.
We could maybe do something short. And
18th would be that weekend. That's
Comic Palooza. So I know we're trying hard to stay on a schedule as much as possible. So I'm going to suspect that we'll probably go ahead and try to record.
Oh yeah, no, go. I'll do some kind of thing. You can see me on Instagram.
Well, you know what? I'm trying, you know, this time, hopefully y'all have heard music. Hopefully y'all have heard an intro and this. So, you know, if we get brave, maybe I could get a I could get a sound clip from Darcy.
Oh yeah, you can get. I'll try and do it. I'll do so like yeah. a sound clip and send it in to yeah. you.
So we'll see how that works out. I hope everyone has a great week, and we will talk, or a great few weeks, and we'll talk to y'all soon.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.